I'd like to welcome you all here to this wonderful place, and let's take a moment in line with that power to recognize what is true. And what is true is this: there is one power. Whatever name we call it, wherever it shows up in our lives, it is one. It is one power, and one of its highest names is love. Love is that energy which fuels all of life, which turns the planets, which flutters our hearts, which brings us into greater connection and oneness with everything that is. That one love expresses as us, each of us, right here, right now, as we gather together in the purpose of knowing something better, of finding good ideas, and then moving from this place out into the world, being the love that we are. That's where we are, that's what we're about. In gratitude and joy, I release this knowing we step into this in fullness. I let it be, and so it is. So whoever you are, wherever you came from, I'm glad you're here. Interesting, different setting for those who are accustomed to the other one. If you're new, this is new. You don't know the other setting. But I'm liking this. This is pretty cool. And it's nice to know we have alternatives when we need them. Thank you to the zombie movie folks for putting us over here and taking care of us while they're zombieing up the place we normally meet across the street, and I understand some neighborhoods as well. So once we have the name of the movie and it comes out, we'll make sure everyone has a chance to Zombie 2. We have the name of the movie. Okay. So if you're into zombie movies, you'll get to see our regular meeting place in a movie in some form, shape, or another. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be back. If you're going to get snowed in, Ashland, Oregon is a beautiful place to be snowed in. It's a small town with great restaurants and theater and all kinds of things within walking distance. And so I was able to get out and about on foot, even though my wings were clipped as far as flying back here. But I hear you had a marvelous time last week and was well covered, and I've heard nothing but good things about the talk, even though I understand it was a little long. We aren't going to make up for that today. We're not letting you out early, so just, you know, bear with us. Whoever you are, we're glad you're here. Wherever you come from, whatever your nature, whatever your spirit, whatever your religious path that has led you here, it is the right path for you, and we celebrate you, whoever you are, and whatever your choices in life and whatever your givens in life. We're glad you're part of this, because one of our core beliefs is that life itself only wants one thing, and that is to express itself. So we would say such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're being part of us. We are a strong, open, globally connected community. We're centered in the clarity of principle through teachings, service, practice. We create a safe, respectful environment that supports healthy spiritual growth. So whoever you are, however you got here, we're glad you're here. To have a better idea of what we talk about and what we teach, I invite you to join me in reading our Declaration of Principle. This is the one from New Thought, Science of Mind. I see you're already standing. Come on up and join me. That's great. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you. Be seated. Wow, it's good to see everyone today. So each week we have a different one of our practitioners come up and share with you a reading and a treatment. And this week it is a woman who was in ministerial class with me back 100 years ago when we were both 19. And I give you Judy Ailey. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. All right. Good morning. It's nice to be here. Bob's notes. That's good.
Do not.
Anyway. All right. You know, this teaching really does work, and I wanted to share an experience that I had during my training to become a practitioner. As part of the practitioner training, we were instructed to pair up with someone else in the group. There was a whole group of us. And that what we were supposed to do was we were supposed to do affirmative prayer or treatment, as we call it here, spiritual mind treatment, for that other person for what they wanted in their life. And, you know, I had been taking a lot of classes at the time, you know, whenever they came around, I took them. And I had been doing some spiritual mind treatment for myself. My life wasn't perfect, but I'd seen benefits from it. There were definitely things were moving in a better direction for me. But, you know, I'd had a few blunders with myself. So I'd never done spiritual mind treatment for anyone else. And I was really nervous about trying it out. But the person that I was paired with was in business for himself as a freelance photographer. And what he wanted was he wanted more business because he felt like his business was really slow. It was sort of drying up. And, you know, he loved being a photographer. And it just seemed to me that this was a perfect work for him. I mean, he talked about it with passion and love. And, you know, my experience of doing this prayer and treatment for him was really astounding because I had never done it for anyone else before. Somehow, it was really easy for me to see his truth and his wholeness. I could see that he was the perfect photographer and that the universe would flood him with new clients and infinite possibility of ideas and ways to express his photography and to be compensated well. It was just really easy for me to see that about him. There was nothing blocking it. I just saw it completely and perfectly. A week later we met, and I mean, he was open to it as well. He was in a place of wanting this and being open to it. And the calls started coming in for him. He had a lot of business because we did this spiritual work. And he attracted almost more business than he could handle. It was the universe really delivered. And the reason that I wanted to share this experience with you was because it taught me about how principle works and that sometimes we are blocking our own good. And, you know, I really got, there was just something about the way this all happened, the synchronicity of it, that I really got that I was really working with a power that is really infinite and really powerful. And that it was easy for me to get a clear image of him, where sometimes in my own stuff, it's not so easy. So I also remember that there was really nothing blocking him in my mind. I remember doing some strong denial statements about the non-truth of his current lack of clients, that this just wasn't the truth of who he was, that there's a oneness of spirit, and that endless possibilities were true for him. And he got it. So what I'm saying here is sometimes we struggle with things and we need to get the outside help, because guess what? If we're struggling with something, we created it some kind of way. We may not be conscious of it, maybe some old way of thinking, or maybe something that we heard on the news or whatever. So we are working with a power that wants to do it big, wants to do it through us. And so get some help if you're struggling with something. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. I think Bob's talking about love today, right? So there was a reading this week, and, you know, those of us who are reading the textbook along with the study group, there was a reading in one of the meditations that was about love, and it's very brief, but it's from the Science of Mind textbook in the back that has meditations for self-help. So this is called Love to the World. My love goes out to everyone in the world. I do not exclude anything, for I love all nature and everything that is. My love warms and lightens everything that it touches, and it goes out into all places. The love flowing through me is a power to all who come into contact with it, and all feel and know that I love. Love within me is complete and perfect. Love within me is complete. All right. So if you will join with me in knowing some good stuff about ourselves. So this is a spiritual mind treatment. We also call it affirmative prayer here. And if you will accept this for yourself in the first person, I'm going to be saying I, but it's I for all of you. All right, let us just know this together. I recognize and know that spirit is present everywhere. This presence expresses through all of life. This great goodness is the all-powerful presence of love. As I look at the world around me, I see only goodness. This goodness is God expressing itself through life everywhere. I know that I am immersed in this presence of goodness and love. I am one with this goodness and one with divine love. I embody this presence every moment of every day. I look at the world around me with loving awareness and peace. I know that I am filled with an infinite supply of divine love. My life provides endless opportunities to express this love. I attract healthy, loving relationships that are a perfect fit for me. These relationships allow me to express the best of who I am. I live a life that is always expanding in great goodness of every kind. I turn away from any notion or doubt regarding lack of love or lack of goodness in my life. There is no truth in the appearance of loneliness or lack of love in my life. I know that there is no separation or apartness from this one goodness. This one presence permeates all of life. I embody this goodness and I allow love to have its way with me. I am grateful for this deep understanding of love working in my life. I release these words now, knowing that they are my truth. And as we say it together, and so it is.
So the title of today's talk is Getting the Love You Want. And I'm going to start off with that. You know, everybody wants more love in their lives. And an awful lot of people don't believe they have enough of it. That somehow there's love all around us, and we have some, but there's not enough, and we need more, and we ought to have more. You know, and that belief is a source of a lot of bad decisions. Any of you ever made any of those? Don't raise your hands, please. You know, where you wanted love, and you thought the only place to get it was from some one particular person, or group, or place, or activity. And so you twist yourself into whatever kind of pretzel you have to in order to try to get that love. I did a little Google search on songs about love lost or songs about painful love. And I had a website popped up that said 255 of the best songs about love lost. And I had another website popped up that said 197 songs about love lost. And another one, and another one, and another one. It just went on and on. Then I Googled songs about love. 25 good songs about love. Because often when we talk about love, or we think about love, or we hear about it, or we sing about it, or we hear it sung about, not in this case, of course, what we hear and see is how it doesn't work, how painful and difficult it is. You know, there were some interesting quotes about love. One of them was love is a fire. It either warms your heart or burns your house down. Really? We all know the old book about women who love too much and the men who love them, and men who love too much and the women who love them, and all this stuff about loving too much. And how do you do that? I don't know. I have a feeling what they're talking about is something different from love. It's something about manipulation, control, or whatever. So our challenge with love is that we start from the wrong place. We start from a place of thinking of love as some kind of commodity that we don't have, that we have to get somehow or other from out there. You got it, and I got to get it. So I'm going to behave a certain way. I'm going to look a certain way. I'm going to dress a certain way. I'm going to make sure my makeup's all in place. And I'm going to go out and try to find that love because I don't have it. And that works just fine if you believe in a world of lack and limitation, or a world in which there's enough here but not enough over there, or in the language of philosophy, in a world of dualism, where you can have it or you can not have it. And that there's a possibility of a place where it doesn't exist and isn't, like me, in myself. And we can all go there at times. Well, maybe not you, but I have, and end up doing some very odd kinds of behavior. Now, it could be a lot of fun to spend our time today talking about those people who do that and laughing at ourselves and each other, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want us to shift over to a better idea about love, an idea that's based on a deeper truth. Because here's the thing. How do you get the love you want? You can't. You never will. You might as well forget it now. And if you came with the idea of finding out how to get the love you want, then you just go have your, go have lunch. You're not going to get that answer now from me. As much as I would love to be able to tell you how, it can't be done. Because you're saying getting something you already have, and you're talking about wanting, and wanting is a declaration of lack. I want to be loved, which means I lack it. And what does the universe, this infinite power that is everywhere present all the time, always say to us, regardless of what we are declaring? Yes. I want for love. Yes. And as long as you want it, you're going to keep on wanting it. Because you have the false idea, the mistaken idea, that it's out there and you don't have it. See, where you live, we teach a teaching here that says that there is one power. It is everywhere present all the time. It is the stuff out of which everything is created, into which everything is created. So you and I live and move and have our being within this amazing one power. And one of the best names for it is love. It is a creative power. It is a giving power. It lives and breathes and moves and takes shape and form as each of us, as the chair you're sitting in, the floor under your feet, this beautiful location we're in, and everything about it is created as that one power. And you are an individual version of it. You're it. So it is moving through you, being itself through you. So that infinite love that God is, that Spirit is, if you want to use those words, that life is already who you are. Looking for love is like the little fish that swam the seven seas looking for water. You already got it. It's in you. It's who you are. It's where you are. You're surrounded by it. See, and I think what we're really doing is not asking how to get love. We're asking how to experience the love we already are. How to have a greater sense and feeling of the well-being that comes from walking into a room and knowing, hey, I am loved. I am loved bigger and louder and better than I have yet imagined myself to be loved. One of the things we say in our Declaration of Principles, it's all about love. This is a place to be loved. This is a place to experience the fact that you're loved. And we attempt to create that and how you're treated and how you're seen and the surroundings we put ourselves in. All of that together. So it's a real simple answer. And that is, we experience greater love by expressing greater love. See, love is a whole piece. You can't get it without giving it. And you can't give it without getting it. It's like breathing. You know, I love it when people lead guide meditations, and I'm tempted to do this way myself, where you say, take three deep breaths. But we don't say, take three deep exhales. So if you take three deep breaths in without breathing out, you're going to explode. If you try to take in three deep love breaths without exhaling it, you'd explode. Because we're not built that way, and love isn't built that way, and breath isn't built that way. Life is about coming and going. It's about movement. It's about circulation. It's about flow, and that's what love's about. you want to experience more love in your life, be more loving. Sounds simple. It can be challenging. Some people are much easier to love than others. You know that. Don't elbow the person sitting next to you. You know what I mean. See, when we base our idea of love on this oneness, all of a sudden, it's not about how to get, it's about how to give. Where and how can I give more love? How do I create it? How do I create the ideas of it? As many of you know, we've been in doing a class on Emma Curtis Hopkins, and what one of the things that she says, she was the teacher of teachers, she taught the founders of most of the New Thought movements that are alive and well today, including ours. And she said that when you have truth, and when truth is, when you're working with true ideas, there are four things to do. And the first one is to give deep thought to that which, that truth that you're working with. So the place to start to experience more love is to think about it. Spend some time contemplating, what does love really mean? What is love? You know, goodness knows, thousands of definitions of that. The Greeks have a whole bunch of names for love. By the way, none of them are about what love is. They're all about how love is used. There's filial love with your family. There's brotherly love. There's koinonia, which is a love of unconditional love. All of those are names for one energy, one power, and how they're being directed and used. All of our confusion about love, I think, is more about how we're using it than the nature of it itself. Ernest Holmes says that love is the givingness of life through the desire to express itself in terms of creation. What? He wrote this over 100 years ago, so, you know, language is an issue. Love is that energy of life that is wanting to express itself, such as the nature of life, that all it wants, that all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. That's love. It's this desire to express in a creative way or in a way that that brings about creation. Whether it's looking at someone and saying, oh, wow, I love you. You're beautiful. I know who you are. You're an expression of spirit, and I love you, and I think it in my mind. That brings, something happens in that person's life. So the second thing she says is not only think deeply about what love means to you, but speak it. Ogmandingo, one of my early people I read back in years ago when I was still a Baptist, said that in his book, The Greatest Salesman in the World, he said, every time you say hello to someone and you shake their hand, say, I love you. Don't say it out loud because you might get, you know, they might think you're a little weird. We are in this teaching, by the way, because we don't fit the norm of how most of the world sees the world. But say it in your head, in your mind, and watch how differently people react over time. And watch how differently you react. When you meet someone and say, I love you, and said, I'm afraid of you, and I think you might not approve of me, and I don't know what you think about me, but I'm going to try to find out and be on and get on your good side as I'm saying hello. Now, maybe I'm the only one that ever went there, but I suspect I'm not. The other one is, hello, how do I get from you what I really want? Instead of, hello, I love you. How do I help you become who you really want to be? How do I support you in getting your good and your value? Because if I can do that, I'm getting mine anyway. It's going to come. It can't help but come. So speak it. Say it. You know, when we think deeply about love, one of the things love does is it really sets us free and sets free the other person. If you know that the source of the love in your life is you, then you know that what you're giving it, there's no need to limit how the other person is going to receive it or what they need to do in response. Because you're giving it freely because it's who you are. You know? Have you ever been in love? You know that feeling? Wow. You just see the person. You don't even have to see them. You just think about them. And you just go all goo-goo inside. You know? That's a technical philosophical word, goo-goo. Yeah. Goo-goo inside. You just go all goo-goo. You're just like, oh, my God, and your pulse goes up and your heart races and you flush. And you're just so thrilled. And then they leave you. and then you're a mess. But you know what? That other person did not have those feelings in them. You did. The love that you felt, the excitement that you felt, the joy you felt of falling in love was in you. Now, you can assign it to them and let them carry it off with them if you want to. But unless you give it away, they don't take away your falling in love. That happens to you, and that's in you, and it's your experience, and it's your feeling, and nobody else has charge of it unless you give it to them. That's what I mean when I say you already got it. You know, you can fall in love with a plant and have that wonderful feeling if you choose to. I fell in love with an amaryllis. And it bloomed and it was beautiful. I had a great experience being the amaryllis. Now it's gone. I know that means I have a very strange, limited life, but still, you know, that you can always feel better about your life by hearing stories about mine. The example of what not to be. You can find ways to fall in love. Fall in love with those things you care about. It's automatic. It's already there. You know what you love. Remember when you were a kid and the things you just absolutely loved? You fell in love with fire trucks for me. Playing budden. You know. Think about what you love. I love trains. Always have. I had one as a kid, a little electric one. I love to ride trains. I lived in the Northeast for 10 years. A lot of what kept me there was getting to ride a train every day. Figure out what you love and experience it. Express it. Say it out loud. Say it out loud to people where it's appropriate. You know, not just every time you say hello, but say it out loud. The third thing she says is record it. Keep track of it. Like you just reported in the treatment you talked about that you did. Make a note. This was me declaring my love, and this is the experience I had as a result of it. Journaling is a really important part of our spiritual practice in New Thought because we want to track these things because we get so bombarded by the opposite in our world. You know, we hear all day long about what we should be afraid of and what's not working and why, how if we don't look a certain way or shape a certain way or use certain language that we're not okay. So we need to track our own experiences of being okay, our own experience of expressing love, feeling love, thinking love, and then having it explode outward and see the results around us. The more you practice love and saying it to yourself or to the other person, and the more you record and keep track of it, the more you're motivated then to do it. And the more you're motivated to do it. She said the fourth thing in living truth is automatic. If you do the first three, and that is it becomes your life. You live these true ideas by thinking deeply about them, by speaking the truth of them, and by taking note of and recording how they work and when they work and when they show up. Sometimes for those, some of you who've been in this teaching a long time, it can become so automatic we come to just expect things to work well for us, and so we should. But it's still even then helpful to take a few minutes and jot down at the end of the day all of the really wonderful things that happen as a result of your thinking. Your thought is the most powerful thing you have. Nothing can stand against it. So the more we pay attention to that and take note of it and bring it forth in our lives in those ways that allow us to have and be what we want, and the more we pay attention to it and notice it, the more confidence we build and the more faith we build that it will continue to be so. So I dare you. Our theme for this month is every day and every way I'm getting better and better and better and my life is improving. I urge you to consider this week, every day, think about ahead of time in the beginning of your day some way in which you want to love, some way you want to share your love in a different way than you normally do. Perhaps it's to express love to the people who wait on us all day long, our waiters and waitresses, the person at the cashier's desk, whatever. Whether you say it out loud or you say a word of appreciation and kindness, but maybe that's a place to increase your experience of love. Tom Costa, one of my favorite early teachers that was influential in my life, used to walk around and say, "That's for me. That's for me." And it wasn't about I want to get that. It was that I love that. I love, and he built a huge, huge prosperity, life of prosperity doing that. He'd look at a Rolls Royce and say, that's for me. And it was one day. He bought his Rolls Royce. He'd look at a big house and say, that's for me. And his prosperity grew until one day he had the big house. He didn't spend any time much on that's not for me. He would notice what wasn't not for him, but he'd just kind of ignore that and go to that's for me. A passionate love life, that's for me. An opportunity to love people who may not be so lovely, that's for me. Careful with that one. But it's a good one. Loving people who don't know how lovable they are, that's for me. Loving people until they recognize who and how wonderful they are, that's for me. So think about where and how and what's for you. And see if by simply making the action of being more loving in one or another way this week, your whole life in one way or another doesn't feel more loved. Because as I say, you cannot give it without receiving it. If you're giving it, if you're sharing it, if you're thinking it, if you're saying it, it is coming back to you. See, every intentional thought you have is an act of creation. Part of this being in the oneness, living in the oneness, is that our thoughts, our feelings, our ideas are creating life and creating experiences, not only for us, but for everyone around us and for all of life. So every intentional thought is an act of creation. So consciously intending love calls upon the infinite power to create that love for you in your life and in the lives of those you're aiming at. With love, not anything else. See, and by loving more and more each day, you easily and automatically to create the love that you desire to experience. And there's no such thing as wanting love that you don't have. Doesn't exist. Not part of the world. Not real. That is your truth. That is my truth. If you choose to accept it, it's yours. And we all deserve the very best, because you're wonderful, so am I, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you. So let's take a few moments and contemplate love. Like I said, the first step is thinking about it. So I'm going to invite you to turn your attention within. As we hear this beautiful music in the background and realize how loved we are just being in this room together with people who see us for who we are as divine, full, functioning, spiritual beings, lacking in nothing. We embrace the idea that love is each of us, as us. In all that we do, if we're loving ourselves, we're loving others, we're loving our bodies, we're loving our lives, we're loving our things, we're loving all about everything to do with us. We're loving our opportunities, our possibilities. Let your mind just wander over those things that you truly love. Deny that there's an absence of love anywhere, anytime. Love is present 100%, whether we see it or not, in all people, in all experience. And by action of this treatment, we demand to see the love, we demand to see the good, we demand to see it expanded and expressed in ways that bring us that experience of loving and being loved, that feeling of peace and harmony and okay security that comes from knowing love is all there is and we are in it. It is us. Nothing can ever separate us from the love that is God. Nothing ever could or even wants to. And so I release any ideas that I am separate, that any part of me doesn't deserve love, that any part of me has it withheld. or that I push it away in any way, shape, or form. Instead, I open my heart and my mind and my life to being loved and to therefore giving love and receiving love as a whole piece. Every day and every way, I am better and better and better in living my life according to my best idea of it. Creating the adventure, creating the joy, creating the vacation, creating the peace, creating the love, creating the knowingness, creating the relationship. And in that creating, and in that joy, I release this treatment now, knowing that love is showing up for me in ways I had not yet imagined, and I watch for it, and I make note of it when it happens. Because this is the truth. I let it be in gratitude, and so it is.
Thank you, Bob. Everything in this universe is an expression and an extension of the Creator, and the Creator is love. You and I are expressions and extensions of the Creator, and this center is an expression and an extension of the Creator. While many of us give in lots of ways to the center, our center is supported by the gifts that the Creator provides through each of us. These financial gifts flow through us to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, and we thank you for what you give. We are an abundant community. At the same time, as we look back on last year, one of the things you'll see when we bring a new leader into any group, there is a bit of a drop in giving. So as we're looking forward, looking back at 2018 and looking forward to 2019, the Board of Trustees has been realizing that there's a little bit that we could do more. And to do that, we're going to need some more investment by the community and more flow through to the community. So after the service, we're going to get together and that's not the main topic of the discussion at all. But we want to have something that we don't always get an opportunity to do, which is to give your ideas as to what we can do in this community and what we should do more of, what we should do less of, what you would like to see the community expand to, not just in 2019, but on out through the years coming up ahead. So with that, we'd also like for you to look and understand that there's about, I guess the best way to express this is not a single dollar amount, but if we had 20 people give $100 more a month, then we would definitely be able to do the things that we want to do here in the center. So if you have any questions about this, please join us for the service after, or the meeting after the service. We're going to be till 1:30 or so. And there's going to be a little bit of snacks for the people that are coming. If you're not coming, please don't eat the food. Because we are conserving money. If you have any questions about this, please come to that meeting or see one of the trustees or one of the other leaders in the center.